The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Morning, John.
We haven't been around for a while.
We haven't. I don't know if we're going to be able to handle this.
I know. It's hard work here.
It's been all recorded.
And Otto is a member of the Project Independence Advisory Group from New Hyde Park.
Correct.
Where basically Project Independence started, but we're not going to talk about that now. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. What we try to do every time we start the show is let people know that Project Independence is the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help people age in place. And the most important thing you have to remember is 311. You call 311 basically 24/7, and somebody will get back to you within 24 hours to answer your question. And what Project Independence provides is we have transportation for medical visits, transportation, for shopping. All during the week, there's programs from health, mental fitness. I can't even think of some of them right now. Otto, I know you're involved
with them. Well, replacing light bulbs.
Anything, exactly.
Toilet seats, whatever you need.
Yeah, anybody over the age of 60 in the town of North Hempstead, basically, you're not alone. And that's the most important thing to remember. Our first guest today is a visionary. And he is the executive director of Vision Long Island. And it's Eric Alexander, and I met Eric once or twice at events, but never really had an in-depth conversation with him. But I'm very much aware of what he has been doing on Long Island. So, Eric, good morning.
Morning.
And it's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Pleasure for me.
And what I'd like you to do is just tell us first about Vision Long Island.
Sure, sure. Before I get into the vision, I just want to say it's great to be here because I see what you are doing with Project Independence, and the whole concept behind Vision Long Island is about placemaking, and having folks age in place is really a key part of having strong communities on Long Island. So certainly kudos to the work you do and getting the word out. Vision Long Island, we're a smart growth planning organization. We've been a not-for-profit. We've been around since 97. We formed as Vision Huntington. Our main focus is downtown redevelopment, and also lobbying for infrastructure dollars to come to our downtowns for sewers, transportation, and other forms of economic development. So when we say smart growth, we mean downtown living, downtown shopping, downtown working, really centering planning around really downtown centers, almost how we planned Long Island many years ago before what we call suburban sprawl, where you have 100 downtown business districts, and society was kind of centered around them, and folks lived on the outside of town. That's okay. But our economic activity, cultural and social activity center around Main Street, and that's what we're about.
Okay.
So we lobby, we educate, we hold forums and seminars, but our main focus is to bring our downtowns back.
How does a project commence? I mean, if I'm an advocate in my neighborhood and I'm saying there's a piece of property, we need something, or is it much higher up than that?
Well, sometimes projects are initiated by community members. Oftentimes they're initiated by property owners and developers, clearly.
Okay.
And sometimes they're initiated by local village mayors or town council persons or supervisors who want to see redevelopment occur. So it's government, community, or business. Regardless, there's a process that has to be followed.
Okay.
There's a New York State environmental review process called CEQA that has to be followed, and there's a zoning process in the village or the town that has to be followed. Usually, a rezone is needed. So if you're going to do something different with a piece of property, go up one or two stories or three stories, you need variances or setbacks, all kinds of issues related to parking, traffic, design, architectural character, as well as potential impacts to the school district, others. So there's a lot of factors in the planning that have to go through a process for 9 months, a year, or sometimes longer. And so sometimes projects move forward swimmingly and everyone kind of has consensus and agrees. Sometimes there's, you know, challenges and things take a long time.
Sounds like you need money, time, patience.
Yeah. Yeah. I had hair, and you can't see on the radio, I'm bald and a little chunky, but I was much thinner and, you know, 20 years ago when I started this journey. But, you know, there's a lot of stress involved in trying to get things done on Long Island. But we're glad to see some things happen. I was not the founder. I was a founding board member. I was the first staff person. Yeah, 97. A fellow named Ron Stein. He was traveling around the country looking at how other suburban areas were redeveloping themselves. And he had a lot of ideas. And I kind of came in as the field general to kind of move some things along. And I took it on as a consulting gig, and it became a job. So I kind of came here by accident. You know, it wasn't a real plan.
Do you have a membership, like people who belong to Vision Long Island?
We have people who donate. We have people who affiliate with us. Like, for example, we have a lobby coalition that goes to Albany and Washington. We have 90 members in that. We have a Complete Streets coalition that looks to improve the roadways on Long Island. And we have, I guess, about 100 members on that. We have a Long Island Business Council with 400 or 500 members. So we're not a membership organization legally, but we have events with 1,000, 1,200 people. They pay, you know, a ticket price to come, and we treat them as members. It's just legally we're under not-for-profit law. We're not a membership organization.
Oh, okay.
But we have a board of 45 folks that, you know, contribute to the organization and support us through the years. Some real credible names from, you know, environmental, labor, development community, educational community. So, you know, we've got a great board. And
are board members, but are they also active in a project?
Some are.
Okay.
Obviously, there would be some developers that are active building in downtowns. Some of them, you know, some of the attorneys are active, some of the engineering firms. But, you know, for example, Molloy College or Hofstra, you know, they're colleges.
Right, that's okay.
You know, academically interested. You know, they like the concepts. They want to include them in their curriculum and such. But, you know, they're there for, you know, the public interest aspect of it.
Right.
So, you know, it's a mix of public and private interests that support us. You know, we followed our mission for many years. Again, it's been a 20-year journey, but it takes a long time to get things done.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's part of the challenge.
You say downtown redevelopment, and thinking about Long Island, some of the areas I'm familiar with, there really are a lack of downtowns, if you will. You know, there are places like a Mineola, maybe, where they have a downtown, or a Great Neck, or Manhasset has a Planned Dome Road.
Right.
But I live in New Hyde Park, and I can't really say that there's a downtown in New Hyde Park.
Yeah, and that's part of the challenge. It's almost like what happened to Hicksville, too, where over time, suburbanization, where they took out a road or took out a strip of stores to widen a road, for example, and that historical fabric of the downtown was ripped away. Because there was once a more thriving, functioning, clearly defined New Hyde Park. Hicksville had that problem, too, with half of Broadway being ripped down when there was that roadway expansion. So we see that in some of the downtowns. We will say that there's 100 downtown business districts that are somewhat defined. 60 of them are much better defined and have plans for growth. 40 of them actually are approving projects, and they're real places. You go there and you can get, you know, you can go to a bunch of restaurants, you can walk to a park, there may be events happening there, there might be some arts, some culture, or some gathering spaces, where, you know, I'd say 40 places on Long Island are really active downtowns, and some are doing great, like, you know, Patchogue, Huntington, Rockville Center, Farmingdale, Bayshore. And some have some real robust plans, you know, like Westbury, Valley Stream, Mineola we mentioned, you know, Great Neck Plaza is doing great, you know, Gene Cylinder does a fantastic job. So I think that they're in different stages of development,
right. But
certainly from where we were 10 or 15 years ago, downtowns are doing much better.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you mentioned Westbury. That's one place, because I worked in Garden City, I'm in Jericho now, but that's not the point. Sometimes I'd wind up through Westbury.
Yeah.
And the space That whole strip there. I mean, it, actually, from Old Country Road, you make the left, you have the church, and then you start getting into the town. You have seen that thing amazingly come to life over the last 10 years. Maybe it's more than 10 years. I have no idea.
It's been about, 12 years.
Okay.
It's been a concentrated effort by the mayor, current mayor, Peter Cavallaro, and the former mayor and village board.
That's Peter Cavallaro?
Yeah.
He's the mayor there?
Peter Cavallaro's fantastic. Okay. He's a great, great, great leader down there. He's what he's been doing. They've approved 800 units of housing.
Okay.
Over that time. And you kind of don't know it, but it's there.
I'm just going to say, where are they?
Yeah, it's not right on Post.
Right, it's one block back.
But it's a couple blocks back. And there's one project there on Post. There's about 90 units on the horizons. But the point is there's you have the housing feeding the downtown area. Certainly the space coming in is certainly a driving force now. And then you're starting to see some more restaurants come in. You know, and it's slow, but it's happening. And they only have like 4 or 5 vacancies. You know, so it's neat.
Huge.
Yeah.
Just touch on that for a second longer. They have the space, which is unusual because it is a huge – I've been in it only once, but nevertheless, it's quite a place. Most downtowns are not going to wind up with a space. So is that a deterrent for a place in a downtown that doesn't have the ability to have one of these luxury theaters, so to speak?
You know, they may not have a space, but they may have something. For example, if they're not going to have that type of a live theater – they may have what Northport Village has, which is more of a theater for plays and such. You may have I think Patchogue's got more of a nightclub type place, the Emporium. You may have just a simple movie theater. You know, Rockville Center's movie theater does quite well. You know, and that draws people. And Glen Cove has renovated theirs. And Huntington has that as well. So I think you have there may be some kind of gathering space that pulls people in. And clearly some downtowns, Farmingdale's an example that just does well with restaurants and a train station. You don't want a monoculture where every downtown does the same thing, but we are an island of 3 million people and we do have a market for multiple theaters. We don't have to go into the city all the time.
When
you see the Paramount Theater or the Space or the Emporium out in Patchogue and also what they do, even what they do at Landmark up in Port Washington, when you see national acts functioning in our downtowns, people are like, I don't have to go to the city all the time.
Right.
You know, I could just come out here and you don't have to travel as far, and then you're frequenting local restaurants and giving money to local businesses.
Well, that's one of the
benefits. Benefits.
And it's also you don't have to drive because that's getting to be
worse
and worse. Trying to get into Manhattan, it just.
Yeah.
And so if there's a good theater.
You shouldn't drive.
you shouldn't.
That's part one.
You know, but then you got to time your railroad to get home, and it's a 1 o'clock in the morning event where you can go to Landmark. One of these other things, the show is out at 10:15 or 10:30, you're home at 11 o'clock.
Oh, I go to the Paramount Theater in Huntington, and I'm a heavy metal guy, so I can get in a mosh pit right in front of the stage there, and then I'm home by the show's over, 10:45, I'm home in Northport at 11. You
know, exactly.
It's like, there's no worries.
There actually are a lot of good theater-type locations on Long Island now.
Totally.
You're looking for a mosh
10
pit
years ago.
With Eric?
Well, like I go to Elmont to the Broad Hollow Theater Group.
Right, I know
they
that
put
one.
On shows. They do a great job.
No,
they
I
really
agree.
Do. I mean, is it Broadway? No, but is it good? Yeah, it is good.
It's and it's also price-wise. It's not $175
well,
a ticket.
Well, $100 for a season ticket, 5 shows.
That's $20 for that's,
and the shows are excellent.
Well, that's
really
tremendous.
Are.
Actually, you know what? Before we continue, we're going to go into a little bit of an early break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.